Are you glad to be here?
Yes, sir.
Glad to be with family? Some of you aren't sure. Some of you are like, what in the world is he talking about? Remember, every Sunday morning is a family reunion. So I think we ought to put that on the church sign, don't you? Family reunion every Sunday, 10 a.m. Right? Come and join us. I think that would be a really good thing. Well, hopefully when you came in this morning, you received a bulletin. Did you get a bulletin? If you have a bulletin, hold it up. Those of you that can't hold up a bulletin, you know what you got to do after the service? Grab one. Grab one on the way out. All right, well, let's open it up and let's talk about some of the things that are going on. This morning, right after the morning service, we have our church family dinner. Yes! Right? And it's chicken. Chicken, chicken, chicken. How many of you brought chicken? How many of you didn't bring chicken? That's all right. You can stay anyway. All right. And so it's going to be a great time. So hopefully you're planning on staying and eating with us. We really want you to be able to do that. And then use this time to be able to get acquainted with those in our church. So that would be really good. Just a reminder, there is no children's church this morning. So we have children's bulletins out on the information table and some colored pencils. So if you need to go out there right quick and get that, that's fine. Our daily bread devotional books are out there for the next quarter as well. I also need to bring your attention to the fact that Tuesday night we have leadership team meeting at 6:30. So men will be here at the church. Joy Lunch is at Chapala's at 12 noon. And so if you are available and you'd like to come and join us for lunch, that's great. Those of you that are a part of the Joy group, I hope you have that on your calendar and that you'll come and join us for lunch and just a great time of being able to get to know one another. A prayer request that I need to share with you is June Black was taken to the hospital Friday morning. And as far as I know, she's still there. I've not been able to make any contact with her family, but she needs our prayers. So please make sure that you just remember June in prayer. Well, today we have some very important people with us. Did you know that? So today we have graduates. And so we want to take a moment and honor our graduates. And so I'm going to start with the oldest graduate that we have. She just graduated from college. And so, Carissa, come on up here. So, Carissa graduated from BSU just recently. And so, Carissa, what are some of your plans? Do you have any plans? Oh, that's right. You're going to Uganda in when?
September.
And your sister's going with you. And your cousin from Portland's going with you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So right now, that's what's first and foremost on her mind is this upcoming trip to Uganda. So she graduated with a degree in
music education.
So eventually, she wants to teach others other than Pastor Sam because he's so far gone. That would be an impossible task for her. But she eventually wants to work teaching kids music, which is a really, really good thing. So, stay right up here. So then we have some high school graduates, and in no certain order, because the cards all slipped down. So we have Emma Dusky. Emma graduated from high school. Emma, what high school did you graduate from?
Project Impact STEM Academy.
Okay, so from STEM Academy. And what do you have any plans? Going to go to cosmetology school. Okay, all right. That's really good. You think you can do it? No, don't answer that. All right? Okay, so that's really good. And then we have Destiny Cates. So Destiny is Dottie's granddaughter. Okay, I was going to say great, and I knew that probably wasn't correct. So, Destiny, where did you graduate from? From Mountain View, okay? And what are your plans? She's going to be a veterinarian. That's really good. So, will you be able to doctor Pastor Sam? No, don't answer that, okay? All right, just stay up here. So then, let's see, then we have Anna Montano. I don't have to look at this one, all right? Come on up, Anna. These are very important people. So, Anna, tell us where you just graduated from. From the Ambrose School, and tell us what your plans are. You're going to Colorado to art school. And right by the school is a In-N-Out burger restaurant.
Yes.
That was really good planning on her part, right? So if you get hungry for In-N-Out, you can drive to Colorado and visit Anna, right? Okay. And that'll be really good. So we are just so grateful for the opportunity that we have this morning to be able to just hopefully make these special people feel really appreciated for this accomplishment in their lives. And so I just want to pray that whatever it is that your future plans are, whether it's immediate or whether it's distant, that God will just show you what it is that he has for each one of you, and that what you think it is right now that God has for you will work out the way that God intends. Father, I thank you for these that we can honor this morning, as this accomplishment in their life is really major. Whether it's a graduation from college, whether it's a graduation from high school, it took a lot of work. It took a lot of people standing behind them. It took a lot of people encouraging them. And Father, I pray that as they venture out to follow the path that they believe you have for them, Father, that we will still continue to pray for them. We will still continue to encourage them along their way. And Father, I thank you for the blessing that we've had to be able to see them mature, to be able to see them develop as their church family. And Father, we look forward to what you have in store for them in the future. So Father, we ask that you take care of them. May all of the details of need to be put together for what it is that you have in store for them for the future, may all of those details fall into place. And Father, may they continue to honor you each and every day with their lives. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, y'all. Good job. Great job. So proud of every one of you. All right, you ready to sing praises to God? That's what we do at our family reunions. Right? We sing praises to God. You ready?
Yes, sir.
Let's go.
All right. As you stay seated today, just chill. Chill out with the Lord today. Hippie style. Just kidding. So my voice was gone last week, and I'm so glad to be back in church today. So glad to sing, but I probably won't sing very well. So I need you all to sing with me. Can you do that for me today? All right. We're going to sing The Old Rugged Cross. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange someday for a crown. Oh, the old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. Verse 3, in the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross, Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross Till my trophies at last I lay down, I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true, its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then you'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. Heavenly Father, we look forward to that day. We look forward to the day when we see you face to face. In the meantime, Lord, we live our lives for you. In the meantime, we understand there's people in this world that need Jesus. They need to know that it's about the cross. They need to know what you've done for them. So, Lord, help us to live that way for you, we pray. Amen. It's not just about the manger, where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's not just about the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies that I've won. It's not about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about his precious blood that saved me from my sin. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. The beginning of the story is wonderful and great. It's the ending that can save you, and that's why we celebrate. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about God's Son nailed to a tree. It's about how every drop of blood that flowed from him when it should have been me. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. So that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's about the cross. about the cross. I've searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Then you came along and put me back together, and every desire is now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. 'Cause the God of the mountain is the God of the valley, and there's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. There's nothing. Sing it again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Oh, the priceless gift you are to me, the mountain of my sin you washed away. Oh, the miracle you made of me, the shadow of my night you turned to day. And I'm in awe of how much you love me. I'm so in awe of how much you love me. Oh, I can't thank you enough. I can't give you enough for all you've done. You have loved me so much. You're more than enough. You alone, 'cause you are greater than any other love. You are greater than any riches of the world. You are greater than anyone. And I will live to worship. I will live to worship you. Countless are the thoughts you have of me. My first and final days are in your hands. Unthinkable that you would call me friend. The words that you deserve cannot exist, and I am in awe of how much you love me. I'm so in awe of how much you love me. I can't thank you enough. I can't give you enough for all you've done. You have loved me so much. You're more than enough. And I will live to worship. I will live to worship you alone. There's nothing that compares to you. No one can compare to you. There's nothing that compares to you. No one can compare to you. I can't thank you enough. I can't give you enough for all you've done. You have loved me so much. I will live to worship you alone. Alone. Worship you alone. Father, we worship you today, and you alone. You're the only one worthy of praise. Lord, when we sing songs like this and we recount the ways that you've blessed us, you've impacted our lives, you've been gracious, loving, kind, merciful. Lord, we have no choice but to praise you. We have no choice but to worship you. We have no choice, Lord, but to lift you high and magnify your name. You are great. You are amazing. And you're the only one worthy of our praise. So, Lord, we give it to you today. We give it to you. Lord, remind us as we go through the difficult times that we can speak to the mountains in your name and they will move. Lord, remind us in the hard times there's no giant too big. Lord, we love you. We praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
we take this morning's offering. If you're visiting with us, don't feel obligated to give, but give as an act of worship.
Why would I worry when giants come calling my name? Oh, my God is so much bigger than troubles I face. Why would I hunger for power or riches or fame? God is so much better than all of these things. Oh, I won't be shaken. I won't be moved. My God is faithful. His promise is true. So I speak to the mountain. Oh, it's time to move. My God is bigger, better, stronger, greater than you. My enemies scatter, 'cause they know the battle is done. My God is stronger, the victory's already won, yeah. Oh, he died for my ransom and rose up on the third day. Oh, my God is greater than death, well, in the grave. Oh, I won't be shaken. Is true. Though I speak to the mountains, oh, it's time to move. My God is bigger, better, stronger, greater than you. There's no mountain too high, no valley too low. There's no fear that I have, he doesn't already know. There's no problem too big, there's no weapon too strong. There is nothing for God that's impossible. There's no mountain too high, no valley too low. There's no fear that I have, he doesn't already know. There's no problem too big, there's no weapon too strong. There is nothing for God that's impossible. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be moved. My God is faithful. His promise is true. So I speak to the mountains. Oh, it's time to move. 'Cause my God is bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger, better, stronger, greater, bigger, better, stronger, greater than you.
Our God is bigger, better, stronger than any circumstance that you and I could ever face. Do you believe that this morning?
Amen. I sang with a voice.
It's true. I was just thinking, man, Jared, with half of a voice, it is far better than mine with a full voice. That's the way that it should be. Well, this morning we are going to be talking about the sixth commandment out of the 10 commandments or instructions that God gave to the nation of Israel. And I just want to remind you that these commandments were given to the nation of Israel for a specific purpose. That specific purpose was so that they, along with all of the nations of the world that they would be interacting with all of the nations that would be dwelling in the land of Canaan that God was bringing them back to, would be able to know that they are set apart for God. Now, it's important for us, I believe, to be able to have an understanding of what it is these instructions or these commandments, however you want to name them. I think it's important for us to understand that there are things that are given to us to be able to follow as well. Because God, in the culture in which we live, among many, many nations, even living here in the Treasure Valley, we live among people that are from many, many nations. You know that. I know that. And God wants them to be able to know that we are set apart as well. These commandments, these instructions, are not rungs of a ladder to bring us to salvation. We have salvation because we believe in Jesus as Savior, and that alone, nothing else. But God, when we do come to the place of believing in Him as Savior, God wants us to live differently than the world. God wants us to be set apart, and He wants us to know that, and He wants others that we interact with on a day-by-day basis to understand that as well. I'm reminded of what God tells us in His Word, and it's written for us in Romans chapter 12. If you want to keep your finger in Exodus chapter 20 and turn to Romans chapter 12, I would encourage you to be able to do that. But in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it says this: I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. You get the idea by reading these words that God has given to us, that He wants for us to be set apart? I believe so. And if that's not clear for you in verse 1, look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. If you are conformed to this world, if you follow the ideology of the world, if you follow the philosophy of the world, if you follow the ways of the world, you are not set apart from the world. You are conformed to the world. And what does He say? Do not be conformed to this world. Now, there are a lot of ways that the world is trying to push us into conformity with the world. It's done in academics. It's done in our places of higher learning. It's done in our high schools. It's done in our elementary schools. It's done in the workplace. It's done in the media. It's done in the government. It's done in our entertainment. It's done in our sports world. It's overflowing with the ideology that every single one of us needs to be conformed to the philosophy, to the ideals of the world. And what does God say? Don't be conformed to the world. Why? Because you believe in Jesus as Savior. You are set apart from the world. I have a special place for you. I have a special purpose for you that the world doesn't have. So don't give in to the world's conform to the world's ideologies. Be set apart. He goes on to say, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Hopefully you understand that the reason why we get together on Sunday morning is, yes, to have a family reunion, which Pastor Sam says is really cool. But we also hear from God's Word. We hear from God's Word as we sing these hymns, as we sing these spiritual songs. We hear from God's Word. Because a lot of them take us to the places, teaches us the things that God wants us to be able to know. We're renewing our mind by hearing God's Word brought forth from a preacher, no matter how bad he might be. But we are given opportunities to what? Renew our mind. Why? Because for most of the week, we're trying to be what? Moved in the direction of what? Conforming to the world. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That by testing what? Testing what it is that God has for you as compared to what the world tells you. Testing, why? That you may discern what is the will of God. What's the will of God? He just told us. Don't be conformed to the world. What's the will of God? Present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. You and I all have that same will of God to do with our lives. God's will for your life isn't any different than God's will for my life. Now, God's vocation in your life may be different than God's vocation for my life. But we all have the same will. What's the same will? Do not be conformed to this world. What's the same will? To present our bodies, that includes our minds, as a living sacrifice to God. That which is holy, acceptable to God. Which is our reasonable service, which is our spiritual worship. By testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The things of the world, God does not classify as good and acceptable and perfect. Now, are there things in the world that are good? Absolutely. Are there things in the world that are acceptable? Yes. Are there things in the world that are evil? Yes. Are there things in the world that are not acceptable? Yes. Are there things of the world that are imperfect? Yes. That is very true. And so as we enter into what it is that Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13 wants us to be able to learn, we need to keep this in mind. Number one, we need to keep in mind that this was given to Israel so that God could show through Israel that he has set the nation of Israel apart from the rest of the world, that he had a special purpose for them, and that he was going to use them to carry out that purpose. Also, it's to remind us that God has a special purpose for us, and we already went through what that is here in Romans chapter 12. So, Romans chapter 12 really wasn't part of the sermon this morning. I'll just throw that in for free to you today. Okay? All right. Hopefully by now you've found Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. We are living in a culture of death. I don't think that I have to spend a lot of time helping you understand what that means. If you've been paying attention to the news in the last several weeks, you understand that. If you've been paying attention to the news in the last several years, you know that. The news of murders and shootings fill our headlines on a daily basis. Murder has become a central source of entertainment in our society. It has a tremendous effect on our children and grandchildren. According to Philip Ryken, by the time the average child finishes elementary school, he or she has watched 8,000 televised murders and 100,000 acts of on-screen violence. Video games are so lifelike that those playing them get the sensation that they are actually killing someone. We are living in a culture of death. And God tells us, and as we looked at Romans chapter 12, that we are to what? Be separate from that. As believers, this culture of death, this mindset of death in any shape or form for human life should not be a part of our thinking. Should not be a part of our behavior. So the main thought of this message today is this. Since God has purposes for every person, Since he has a will for every person, all life must be respected and protected. All human life must be respected and protected. And today's instruction from God is so useful so that we can have healthy relationships and a healthy culture. So what does it say here in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13? You shall not murder. Now let's go over some observations. This is the shortest verse in the Old Testament, especially in the Hebrew. And the text gets right to the point with only four words in English and just two words in the Hebrew. In fact, in Hebrew, this instruction reads, not murdering. Pretty plain, pretty simple, right? Not murdering. This instruction is directed to every individual. The tense is the second person singular, meaning each one of us needs to take it to heart. It's stated in the strong negative, like seven of the other instructions or commands. It's an unconditional instruction. That means there's no room for negotiation. There's no room for bargaining. There's no room for justification of anyone taking another human life. That's the way God sees it. It deals with murder, not killing. Now, there's confusion about this because the King James Version translates it this way, thou shalt not kill. That's not exactly the strongest and best translation of what it says in the Hebrew. What does it say in the Hebrew? Not murdering. So the word in the Hebrew refers to unlawful slaying, and it can be defined like this, the unjust taking of a legally innocent life. Now, why is this important? It's important because all human beings are created in the image of God. It's important because all human beings are created in the image of God. I don't think we need to go back to Genesis chapter 1, where it tells us that God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And before he did that, God said, "Let us make man in our own image." Every human being from that moment on was created in the image of God. So this means some things. This means every human being has great value independent of their ability or function. This extends from conception until natural death. From conception to natural death. Human life is sacred to God because he is the giver and sustainer of life. Human beings belong to God, and we as human beings, like it or not, are accountable to him. Why? Because he created us, and he created us in his own image. So there's some principles that go along with this, and I want us to take the rest of our time this morning and look at these principles. The first principle is this: we must respect all human life. We are to value all people. We are to regard all human beings as the image bearers of God. This includes the poor, the unborn, the elderly, and those with physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual limitations. Without exceptions, we are to consider all human life sacred because every one of us has been created in the image of God. Listen to what God told Noah after the flood. Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea. Into your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. Now God here makes it very clear that animals are fair game for food. And he makes it very clear we're not to eat them raw. We're not to eat them while they're still alive, while they're still running around, you know. The chicken that we're going to enjoy at church family dinner has been cooked, all right? You don't have to chase it around, put it on the table, stab it with a fork and a knife, and eat through the feathers. That you don't have to do that. Why? Because God said don't do that, okay? So we're not talking about animals for food here. We are talking about human beings who are made in the image of God. And because they are made in the image of God, they demand, they deserve our respect. Because we are to value human life. God considers human life to be sacred. So just as he gave plants to eat, he also gave venison and hamburger and steak and chicken, by which we're going to have in a little bit, and fish. So this commandment is not a ban for hunting animals for food, because animal life is not sacred. But human life, entirely different. People bear the image of God, so they deserve to be treated different than animals. In fact, human life is so sacred in God's eyes that those who deliberately take a human life, what did God say? Forfeits their own life. Now, this is the basis of all human government. God designed human government to protect human life from those who would destroy it. That's why God gives governments the right to utilize capital punishment. God gave us human government so that it can protect the people who cannot otherwise protect themselves. So any politician who refuses to protect the lives of even the weakest members of society is not doing his or her job. We need to respect all human life because God declares it sacred. Human beings are made in the image of God. This is what the Bible teaches. But evolution teaches something different. Evolution declares that people are like animals. So we should euthanize those whose quality of life is substandard. We should disregard the needs of the poor and the weak. We should abort unwanted bodies. When we start to devalue human life, then no human life is safe. When we start to devalue human life, no human life is safe. And there is such a disrespect in our society today because for several generations, students in our educational systems have been taught that people are just another kind of animal. Humans have evolved from another species of animal. And this, folks, have even crept in to churches and what it is that churches believe and teach. This same thinking. And when we tell people over and over that they are not that special, that they are nothing more than animals, then we shouldn't be surprised when some of these people begin to treat each other like animals. Evolution tells us that people are like animals, but the truth of God's word teaches us that people are like God. People are made in the image of God, and all of them deserve special respect. All of them deserve special respect. People are not animals to be hunted down and destroyed. People are not objects to be used and discarded. People are image bearers of the Creator God, and because of that truth, they deserve a special respect. But here's part of the problem. Part of the problem is that people don't love people. They love what people do for them. And when people don't do what it is they want to do for them, they have been conditioned to just have the thought, you know what? it's nothing to go ahead and just eradicate them because they're no longer useful. It's no longer convenient for me to have them to be a part of my life. And so the best way that I can remove that is to what? Murder them. Recently, we learned about these shootings at this elementary school in Texas. You understand, right, that before the shooter went to the elementary school, he shot his grandmother. You know why he shot his grandmother? Because his grandmother said, "You're not going to stay home from school. You are going to go to school." He wanted to drop out of school, and she said, "Not going to happen. You are going to school." And because he didn't want to go to school, he shot her. And then once he shot her, he realized, you know what, I've already taken a step. I might as well just keep going. You know why he went to an elementary school? Because he knew the people in the elementary school were more vulnerable than going to his own high school to be able to do that. Did he think this through? Absolutely. I just read right before church of this fellow in Kansas City who went to the barber the other day, got his hair cut, went home, didn't like his haircut. So yesterday, he went back to the barber shop to shoot the barber. Barber was no longer useful. It was an inconvenience to have the barber around because the next time he goes to that barber, he probably would get another bad haircut, right? And the barber just didn't happen to be at the barber shop that day. So what did he do? He shot the owner of the barber shop. Yeah. See, the problem is, part of the problem is, people don't love people because they are created in the image of God. People love people because of what they can get from them, because of what those people will do for them. And when those people don't match those expectations, then they become useless. And it becomes inconvenient to be able to have them around. And when people are no longer useful or inconvenient, they are discarded like broken appliances. But that's contrary to what God's word tells us. All humans bear the image of God. And though that image has been marred by sin, all people still deserve and respect love. Not because of what they've done or not done, but because of who they are, image bearers of God. There's another principle. The other principle is this. We must display respect through our actions. Honor people by what you do. Show people that they are valued by your actions. That's why believers in Jesus as Savior seek to protect the unborn and those people with limitations. That's why believers respond to disasters around the world before anybody else does. That's what respect for human life is all about. Reaching out in love to those who have been devastated by the consequences of living in a sinful world and taking the opportunity to demonstrate respect for them by your actions. We're going to look at another principle, and this is a really big principle. We must reflect respect in our attitudes. We must display respect through our actions. We must reflect respect in our attitudes. Honor people with an open heart, not only outwardly, but inwardly. Jesus reinforced this instruction given here in Exodus chapter 20, 13, when he was here on earth, and it's recorded for us in Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 and 22. Jesus said, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment.' But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother or sister will be liable to the council. And whoever says, 'You fool,' will be liable to the hell of fire." So what is Jesus telling us? Jesus is telling us that murder is not just an action of the hands, but it is an attitude of the heart. Murder is not just an action of the hands, but it is an attitude of the heart. And the biggest problem, more so than people don't love people, the biggest problem is that murder stems from sin. Mike Huckabee once said, "We live in a world where there is evil. Ultimately, we don't have a crime problem, or a gun problem, or even a violence problem. What we have is a sin problem." Jesus makes it clear. When you have the sin of bitterness and anger in your hearts towards people, then you are just as guilty if you had murdered them. And we see this reinforced again in 1 John chapter 3, and verse 15, where it says, "Everyone who hates his brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." Hatred on the inside is like murder on the outside. And it is not to be an attitude or action of a believer. Have you ever said in your heart, "I hate my parents. I hate my mom. I hate my dad. I hate my brother. I hate my sister. I hate my classmates. I hate my teacher. I hate my boss at work. I hate my neighbors. I hate the cashier at the store. I hate. You fill in the blank. I hate. What did God say? The bitterness and the anger that wells up inside of our heart is just as if we murdered them. Because we've murdered them with our attitude, not necessarily by the action of our hands. We've murdered them by the attitude of our heart, not necessarily by the action of our hands. You know, the Bible says it's difficult to love God and hate someone else at the same time. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 20, it says, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen." You see, our relationship with God is directly tied to our relationships with people. That's because people are made in the image of God. James chapter 3, remember when we studied the book of James, we talked about these verses. James chapter 3, verses 9 through 10 says, "With it, the tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God." Has there ever been a time where you've been here on a Sunday morning for a family reunion and you sang God's praises? And then that very afternoon, you said in your heart, "Oh, I hate that person." We use our tongues to bless God, but we also use it to what? Curse people. People who are made in the likeness of God, from the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, these things ought not to be so. You see, if we have the attitude that we are set apart from the culture, those thoughts, those attitudes should never be a part of our heart, should never be a part of our thinking, should never be a part of our words. In June of 2012, Carl Erickson, a 73-year-old South Dakota man, was sentenced to life in prison after admitting to the murder of a former high school classmate. Now think about that. He's 73. He murders a former high school classmate. How many years has gone by since these two people were in high school together? Friends and family members were shocked that the once successful insurance salesperson seemed to snap. Erickson had been married to his wife for over 44 years. But after the murder, Erickson's secret came out. For over 50 years, he had nursed a grudge which began in high school. A classmate had once pulled a jockstrap over his head in the locker room as a prank. Norman Johnson, the classmate and murder victim, was a star athlete on the track team.
His action humiliated Erickson, a student team manager at the time, and planted the seed of resentment that would continue to grow for over half a century. It didn't help that throughout their lives, Johnson continued to outshine Erickson. Prior to his murder, Johnson had competed in college football, earned a degree, and then taught and coached at his alma mater for more than 30 years. After holding the grudge for over 50 years, Carl Erickson rang Johnson's doorbell, and when he answered the door, shot him dead. Erickson told a judge, "I guess it was from something that happened over 50 years ago. It was apparently in my subconscious." During his sentencing, Erickson turned to Johnson's widow and apologized, saying, "I just wish I could turn the calendar back." But he can't. Can he? That's what's so sad about having this kind of attitude. Murderous thoughts can easily lead to murderous actions with which there is no turning back. Let that settle in for a moment. Murderous thoughts can easily lead to murderous actions with which there is no turning back. Don't carry around an attitude of hurt and don't seek revenge. Jesus is a great example of this. Remember what Jesus did for you on the cross? When our sin put him there, he cried out, "I'm going to get you. If it's the last thing I do, I'm going to get you." No, what did he say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." He was paying the debt that you and I owed for our sin on that cross so that we could be reconciled back to God. And then Jesus rose from the dead, and now he offers eternal life to all who believe in him as Savior. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So what do we learn from this? Well, hopefully we've learned that it's important for us to show respect for everyone in our actions and in our attitudes, because everyone is made in the image of God. Because we live in a culture of death, we must cultivate a view of the sanctity of life. We're prohibited from taking life, and we are instructed to protect and preserve life. Father, I thank you for what it is that you have taught us this morning. Father, I pray that you will help us to be able to respect all human life. And may we respect them through our actions. Father, may we respect them through our attitudes. Father, help us not to have murderous thoughts, which in turn could lead to murderous actions. Father, help us to be able to take whatever bitterness, whatever anger might be swelling up inside of us, even this very moment. And Father, help us to surrender it to you. Father, may we surrender everything to you, that we might live lives that are set apart. And as we live our lives set apart to you, those around us will see that we are living our lives set apart to you. Because we've surrendered ourselves, we've surrendered our attitudes, we've surrendered our actions to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For this last song, go ahead and stand up with me for "I Surrender All."
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender. All to
take me now. Verse 3. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. Oh, I surrender all. I surrender. I surrender all.